Greetings to the Path family. Our slogan at the Path is meeting you where you are. We invite you to follow, share, and check us out on social media. You may connect with us at any time, anywhere, on Facebook at The Path Church or Instagram and Twitter at Join the Path. Without further delay, enjoy this week's sermon.
Welcome back to our homecoming series. We've been taking a deep dive into Acts chapter 2, specifically verse 42 through 47, as we look at the first church, how the church of Jesus Christ was born, what it looked like, how they imitated Jesus, how they loved people and served. And so we're going to continue reading, and we're going to read this passage again. I think we're going to have it all memorized by the time this series is over. Verse 42, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. That's what we focused on last week. We talked about the importance of being in awe of God and how it should be awesome, our relationship with God. Despite of the challenges and difficulties, we should strive to have that awe and also be in awe of God's church, where we can see Christ through the people, right? We can see Christ in the people. And I hope you were encouraged by that sermon. Let's keep reading in verse 44. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and they ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. One of the things I learned when it comes to studying the Bible is the need to look for certain themes in passages, right? To look for certain words that are mentioned over and over again, because when God wants to impress something on us, He'll say it over and over again, and you know we need that, right? We need the repetition. And in this passage, the word that jumped out to me was together. That's right. All the believers were together. Every day they went to the temple to worship together. Then they went to each other's homes and they ate together, right? So this is important, because this is where the tradition of going out to eat after worshiping comes into play, right? I mean, they had that post-church lunch or brunch, whatever it was, right here. We see it in Acts chapter 2. But more than what they did together, what I want to focus on today is the spirit of togetherness. And that's why I titled my message, "We're in this together." We are in this together. I, as I studied this out, got a newfound appreciation for the way that God set everything up so that His new spiritual family would be together. And in order to really grasp how important this was to God, we got to do a little history lesson here. We got to go back in time a little bit. We got to set the stage to know what's happening in Acts chapter 2 when the church was born. So we're going to take it back to the crucifixion of Jesus, which we know happened during the Passover holiday, right? Jesus died on Passover, which is of special significance, being that he was the Lamb of God, and the prophecies were fulfilled in that moment. He rose from the dead, and then he spent 40 days teaching his disciples, spending time with his disciples, and telling them about the kingdom of God that was to come. 40 days out, he ascended back to heaven, gave them the Great Commission, and said, "Wait here until I give you the sign that you're supposed to go out and preach the word and start the mission." 10 days later, on the day of Pentecost, we have Jews from all over the world, and even those who had converted to Judaism, who come to Jerusalem for this festival, the festival of Pentecost, the festival of weeks. It was the time they celebrated their spring harvest. And also they celebrated when God gave Moses the law and he brought it down to the people in order to start this new community in Exodus after they were freed from slavery. So this was the perfect time to preach the gospel, right? And through the power of the Holy Spirit, they were able to preach it in different languages. So all these people from all these different countries and lands were able to understand the message of Jesus Christ. And we know that they responded, right? They repented, they were baptized, 3,000 were added to the number that day. And that's where the church was born. That was the birthday of God's church. So what is Pentecost? Well, Pentecost literally means 50th, right? So it was the 50th day after Passover, where they were rescued from Egypt, in which Moses actually came down and gave the law to the people. Now, thanks to Marty Solomon and Bema Podcast. Actually, check out episode 135. I was able to learn some really cool similarities between what happened at the first Pentecost and what happened at the day of Pentecost in the book of Acts. Here are some. In both stories, the people come to the mountain of the Lord. In Exodus, they come to Mount Sinai. In Acts, they come to Mount Zion. In both stories, there's thunder or tongues, right? It's the same word glossa that is used for thunder that is also used for tongues when it's translated into the Greek. In both stories, God is establishing his temple. So he gives instructions on building the tabernacle in Exodus and how he's going to dwell in the tabernacle, right? But he also, in the book of Acts, gives directions on the church and how he's going to dwell within us. We are the temple. We are the new temple of God. But there is one big difference in these two stories. In Exodus, when Moses comes down and brings down the stone tablets, right? He comes down and he sees that the people had gotten tired of waiting because it took them 10 days to get to Mount Sinai. But Moses was on the mountain for 40 days with God, getting the law, getting the instructions for this new community. So the people got tired of waiting. They built a golden calf. They started worshiping this calf. And they just started partying. I mean, they as Moses came down, they could hear the partying that was happening. And so he comes down and he's angry. God's angry. And Moses authorizes the slaughter of 3,000 of the people. It said they got to go. 3,000 were killed that day as they started their new community. The big difference is that in Acts chapter 2, the word of God was preached. It was preached from Mount Zion, right? And they got to hear the word and the people responded and 3,000 were baptized that day. And so while one community started out with death because the law was not able to save them, this new community of believers started out with life. And so while this community that came together in Acts chapter 2 came together from all over the world because of this holiday, what kept them together was this new life that they got to experience as their sins were forgiven and as they got the gift of the Holy Spirit. And it was in this new life that they stayed together, that they cared for each other, that they gave to everyone as they had need. Now, if you know anything about the Jewish culture, you know that they are very hospitable people. And when people would come in for these festivals, the residents of Jerusalem would open up their homes for them. But what the Christians did was they made that a lifestyle, not just for the festivals or the holidays. They said, you know what? We're going to practice this hospitality every day, and we're going to meet each other's needs, and we're going to take care of each other. We're going to eat together. We're going to worship together. And God added to their number daily. Why do I share all this? I share all this because I want us to understand the great lengths that God went to make sure that as his new spirit-filled family was formed, that they would have each other, that they would be in this thing together. And it was awesome, as we talked about last week. But it's only possible because of their devotion to the fellowship, which we read about in Acts chapter 2, verse 42. That was the first thing we read about. It's only possible because of their devotion to the fellowship, their commitment to the community. Sounds easy enough. Why can't we just imitate that? Why can't we just live that out? Why is it so hard sometimes for the church just to be the church? I think one of the reasons is because many times some of us want community without the commitment. We want all the benefits of what it's like to be together and to have that encouragement, but we don't want to do what they did. We don't want to be devoted the way they were, and we don't want to be committed the way they were. Now, we know having community without commitment, having a relationship without that commitment, that doesn't work in any other setting. That's not going to work in marriage or in any other type of friendship. There's got to be a commitment to one another for a relationship to work. And there's got to be a commitment to the local congregation for the local congregation to be able to flourish, to be able to be who God has called us to be. Now, for a while, it's okay. We actually want people to come in and experience the benefits of this community. But at some point, everybody has to buy in and start giving as much as we take. Everybody has to mature because there's somebody else that needs to experience the benefits of this community and then also be able to make that commitment. I want to share with you a story about my boy Mino. Mino is a graduate of North Clayton High School. He just graduated in the spring. That's why I got my North Clayton shirt on today. I get to serve as a character coach for the football team. Also help out with a bunch of other sports, including basketball. But we met Mino at North Clayton. He was a football player. He decided to make Jesus Lord and to be baptized as a student in high school. Now he has graduated and he got a job. Mino works as a manager for Taco Bell. He was promoted as a manager at the age of 17. And Mino just turned 18. Right. Then he got another job. Now he's working for the airport. And so at the same time, he's still helping out with the football team. And so he's there at the games. And this past week, I get up there to the game and Coach Cap Burnett, who heads the football team, comes over to me and Mino and starts talking about how grateful he was for Mino, because Mino decided that he was going to buy the team pizza and feed them for their pregame meal. Nobody told Mino to do this. Nobody asked him to do this. Mino on his own decided, you know what? I want to give back to the program that gave so much to me. Man, Coach Cap was so inspired. We were so inspired. The team was so inspired because here you have this young man who is mature beyond his years, and the sacrifices that he's making, the income that he's making because of those sacrifices, he's giving back on his own accord. Oh my goodness, what if we had the heart of Mino, right? Which reminds us of the heart of Jesus, that no matter how long we've been in this new family, that we're going to give back out of gratitude. We're going to use our resources. We're going to use what God has given us to serve the next generation. And that's what it's all about. Every church needs to know who we can depend on. And just like Mino was giving back to North Clayton High School, they know, hey, we got somebody else we can depend on to help meet the needs of the North Clayton football community. Now for us, we got to know who we can depend on to be there for each other as we meet the needs of the PATH Church community. Who is really in this thing together? Are we in this thing together? Well, let me ask you this. Are you someone who's dependable? Are you someone who is trustworthy? Are you consistent? Are you committed to the community? Now, I want to just take a moment to lift up the married men in this church, the husbands and fathers who are leading their families with consistent humility and sacrifice and commitment. It is inspiring to see the brothers lead in this way. And it's so amazing because they bring so much security and stability to their own families. Their wives are grateful. Their children are flourishing. Right. And so not just to their own families, but they bring a stability and a security to this church. We know we can depend on them. And I want to say thank you. I want to say thank you for leading the way in your consistency, in the way you have served, in your faith, in your giving. Thank you. I appreciate that. The church says thank you. And I want to challenge the single men to imitate. To imitate their example as they imitate the example of Christ. You know, one of the things that I see is that many single men want what the married men have. They want this family. They want the children, right? They want the companionship. They've been praying about that, but they're not willing to step out on faith and be humble enough to imitate the heart that these married men have and the sacrifices they made, the consistency and the commitment in their lives. I want to give a big shout out to the married women, the wives, the mothers who embrace the spirit of togetherness and you do it in your home, and the women who are using their gifts and their skills and their talents to glorify God while at the same time supporting their husbands at home, serving their families, building them up. I want to thank you for the stability and the security that you bring to this church. I want to thank you for the light that you are as married couples, that truly we can look at your examples and we can see Christ in your union, in your own family community, right? And in that small group that you have, we're able to see Christ. And because of that, I want to challenge the single women in the same way I challenge the single men. Imitate the faith of the married women in this church. Many of you also want what they have. Many of you want to have a great husband, a great marriage, a great family. You want that, but you have yet to surrender. You have yet to step out in faith and be humble enough to imitate their hearts, their commitment, their sacrifice, their consistency. We can't think we're going to have the community without the commitment. We got to be in this thing together. You know, what I've learned from the scriptures is that this is God's plan for the church to flourish, for older men to teach the younger men, for mature women to teach the younger women, to teach and to train. We read about that in Titus chapter 2, starting in verse 1. As for you, Titus, promote the kind of living that reflects wholesome teaching. Teach the older men to exercise self-control, to be worthy of respect, and to live wisely. They must have sound faith and be filled with love and patience. Similarly, teach the older women to live in a way that honors God. They must not slander others or be heavy drinkers. Instead, they should teach others what is good. These older women must train the younger women to love their husbands and their children, to live wisely and be pure, to work in their homes, to do good and to be submissive to their husbands. Then they will not bring shame on the word of God, and in the same way encourage the young men to live wisely. This is God's plan. Each one help one, right? Each one train one. Each one teach one, because we're in this thing together. And what it's going to take is every single one of us having the individual conviction that we're going to be committed to this community. As all of us individually make that commitment, then the whole community will flourish. The whole community will continue to grow, and the whole community will be able to experience the benefits of healthy one another relationships. And God himself will continue to add to the number daily those who are being saved. You know, last week we got to witness a young man who was added to the number, who was saved. His name is Jarvis Hudson. And we're so excited because Jarvis has grown up in this church. And what's so amazing about it is that Jarvis came home during the pandemic. So he's a pandemic baby, as we call him, who's baptized, you know, in this pandemic. But because of the pandemic, he came home. Because he was home, he had the opportunity to start studying the Bible and start really digging deep into his faith and what he believes and what he doesn't believe. And I'm so grateful for the brothers that were in his life to help him to do that. But you know who's been in his life from the beginning? His dad, Jared, and his stepmom, Tanisha. So he is in a blended family. And we know that blended families can be a little messy sometimes. But I'm so grateful for the example that Jared set, that Tanisha set, the household that they have, that they've built on the foundation of Jesus Christ, that when Jarvis was ready to seek after God on his own, he knew where to go. I'm going to that church where my parents go. I'm going to that church where they taught them to be disciples. I'm going to that church where it has loved me. And isn't that what it's all about? It's about creating this family so that the next generation can know Jesus, starting with our children. Now, you want to hear if something else is cool? Chase, one of the brothers that helped Jarvis become a Christian, he also helped his dad, Jared, become a Christian. Now, that can only happen because of the commitment Chase has had over the years to Jesus and to this church. Now, he's had his ups and downs. He has moved and been other places. Now he's back, but God opened that door. You could only help generations in that way when you're committed for the long term. The challenge is when times get hard and we leave, we're limited as to the things that we can see God working. Now, we may not be here forever in this church, but we're here now. So my encouragement to us is to make the most of it. Make the most of it. Because we're striving to be the church that God wants us to be. But that starts with the commitment to the community so that we can say, hey, we're in this thing together. Let's see how God works. Now, as we wrap up, Jesus himself tells us that we're in this together. And he backs it up by promising us the Holy Spirit and giving us the Holy Spirit once we're baptized into him. And so, literally, he's like, I'm never going to leave you. I'm never going to forsake you. I'm going to be within you. We see his promise in Matthew chapter 28, verse 18 through 20, where he talks about go and make disciples of all nations, baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teach them to obey everything I have commanded you. And lo, I will be there all. I will be with you always to the very end of the age. Jesus says, we're in this thing together. All right. And so for us to imitate his example, we got to be in this thing with Christ, but we also got to be in this thing with one another. And I pray and I hope that we will be all in as we move forward in this journey that we're on as a PATH church, that we'll be totally committed, totally bought in and say, hey, whatever is needed, we're going to do it. We're going to make sure we have what we need. Our children have what we need. And we're going to continue to grow together as a family because of Jesus and what he's done for us. This time, let's go ahead and pray for our communion. God, we thank you so much for you, for your love, for your commitment to us. Thank you that Jesus committed his life to us so much so that he died for us. And we celebrate that right now as we take communion. We celebrate his body that was broken, his blood that was shed for our sin. We see his commitment and his sacrifice, God. And we know that he died for the church. He died so that we can have what we have, Father. Thank you for the way you set everything up, going back hundreds of thousands of years, Lord God, to get us to where we are now, where we get to experience the benefits of being in your family. God, help us to continue to do our part so that we can help others also experience the benefits of being in this thing together with you and with one another. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this week's sermon. New sermons are uploaded each Monday morning. Simply search The PATH Church Atlanta in iTunes, Spotify, or your favorite podcasting service. Additionally, we greatly appreciate your feedback on iTunes. If you would like to learn more about The PATH, we encourage you to visit www.thepath.church. We hope to fellowship with you soon.